You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
As the situation worsened, the facts change, and I will never apologize for changing an approach or strategy when the facts change.
That's Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson yesterday announcing a change in tactics in confronting the economic meltdown. The new focus on consumer credit rattled U.S. markets, and this morning Asian and European markets are following the lead. On the line from London is Michael Hunter. Michael is a markets reporter for the Financial Times. Welcome, Michael.
Good morning, Adora.
Clearly the markets are not happy about this.
It's the uncertainty that's come with these unexpected changes which has really rattled the markets. One thing markets all hate right the way around the globe is a feeling of uncertainty, a feeling that they're not entirely sure what's going to be happening next. And where once we had clarity, we now have an element of confusion, and that's bad news for equities numbers on indices right the way around the world today.
Hypothetically, how do you think concentrating on the consumer credit markets will potentially help?
Well, it can prevent the spread of the crisis from its current location within the financial sector out down the tentacles of the system onto Main Street and onto what was people were referring to during the election campaign over there as Joe Sixpack. That may well be the intention. Whether or not it will be sufficient to do that, I think, remains unclear at the moment. But I think it's an effort to try and stop the worst effects of the crisis reaching ordinary people in the street.
But that question as to whether or not it will work, how does it affect the perception of how the U.S. Treasury is handling the crisis?
I think it shows that there is an element of uncertainty there, which is also compounded, Adora, by the government transition that we're going through at the moment that's happening as the Bush administration gives way to President-elect Obama's new administration. And, of course, there's an inbuilt element of uncertainty there. And the way in which the Treasury surprised people quite so much yesterday plays against that background, and it makes it sort of even more confusing than it would have been before. I don't think the US Treasury looks particularly clever for that reason, but I think some of the changes that they're trying to make also show us that there's a real growing belief that some of these troubled assets that the plan is there to remove from the system might actually now be perceived in the market to be totally worthless. Well, we always knew they were worth nowhere near as much as they once were, but it now looks like they could be completely worthless, and government money being used to take stakes in banks is also a sign that they're trying to protect taxpayer exposure to those possibly worthless assets.
Well, they think that the stock is worth something, so that's what they're focusing on the bank side. But it seems as though the market is seeking a headline in this consumer credit sector. I mean, they're not bailing out my credit card debt or any consumer's credit card debt. They're bailing out people who bought securities that were based on credit card debt, and that Paulson is possibly signaling that there's a new tsunami related to credit card foreclosures that's about to hit the market.
I think that's very true, John. They're not directly bailing out people who are holding credit cards. Those of us who are using our Amexes and our Barclay cards or whatever else are not the people whom this is directly designed to help. But I think the fear amongst legislators and those fears seeping a little into the markets this morning, is that if we do have problems with the availability of credit to those companies, from the companies that provide us with those services, that could have very rapid and very damaging knock-on effects that would hit consumer spending, that would mean it would be more difficult for credit to be available on Main Street, and that would in many ways worsen the crisis. We could see phase two of a credit crunch at the retail level rather than the wholesale level. And although the wholesale problems will percolate through to some extent to the retail level, as they always will do, it's an attempt to try and stop that momentum from gathering and stop the problem from worsening. Whether or not it will work, whether or not that problem is as big a risk as people are thinking it is this morning, are questions that remain to be answered.
Well, Paulson's speech yesterday was a mix of impenetrable sort of acronyms and economic ease, if you allow me to coin a phrase there, and also a bit of style, attempting to project that, hey, I've got the whole situation in control. Listen to this, Michael.
I determined that the most timely, effective step to improve credit market conditions was to strengthen bank balance sheets quickly through direct purchases of equity in banks.
Now, he's talking about purchasing bank stock as a way of taking equity, but he's trying to project that, hey, I've got it in control here, but the markets aren't buying it.
I think the markets are are still considering what they think about that. I think the way in which that is affecting sentiment remains to be properly determined by the market. I think it's this idea that before yesterday, we knew where we were with TARP. The Troubled Assets Relief Program was something that people understood how it had been designed. People understood what it was trying to do with which assets it was drawn up for. People are now less sure that they have a handle on exactly what's going on. The idea of governments taking stakes in banks, buying a lot of shares in banks, which hopefully will one day rise in value as the crisis eases, is something that was pioneered over here in the UK by Gordon Brown. And that seems to be an idea which is spreading and which is becoming more popular as governments struggle to deal with the worst effects of this crisis. And I think that idea itself is quite well received in the markets. People quite like that strategy. What worries the markets about what's going on in the US Treasury at the moment is the sense of flip-flop, the sense that a plan which was wrangled through Congress in that dramatic series of votes, which we remember so clearly, should have held more water than it actually did. And the fact that they're having to redraw it has wider implications. And it's those implications which people are struggling to understand, rather than passing a judgment on the idea of governments taking stakes in bank equity.
You mentioned the transition to the Obama administration. How is that playing itself out? Obviously, all of these individual developments are happening with that backdrop. Is there confusion about who is in charge, or confusion about how the Bush administration will handle this until the Obama administration takes over?
I think there was an immediate little bit of a gap of knowledge in terms of who would be representing the new administration at the G20 meeting this weekend. News that Madeleine Albright will be representing Barack Obama there has helped clear up that immediate doubt about how effective that meeting could be with an outgoing president representing the US. In terms of the transition more generally, I think the way in which there's been such clarity from the existing administration in the White House and such a gracious cooperation, or what at least looks like a gracious cooperation, between the president and the president-elect has played very well, not just in the markets but generally in Europe.
Well, it was funny, the Obama administration saying, or Barack Obama saying, he wasn't going to be at the G20, he was going to lay low. I thought to myself, he better have a pretty good disguise, because they're going to try to find him wherever he is. Again, it's the markets and the international community seeking clarity where there is none. What do you make of the numbers out of Germany this morning?
I think we knew that Germany, like many other European economies, was on the brink of recession. Everybody knew that that was the case. We're still digesting the exact meaning of those numbers. They were a little bit worse than the most optimistic forecasts were suggesting. Now, recession obviously can be many things. There can be a short, sharp, shallow recession, the best kind to have. What I think is worrying a lot of European economists and a lot of European investors at the moment is that there are growing signs that the slowdown and the recession which is brewing over here on this side of the Atlantic might not have those characteristics, might be longer and more grueling than previously thought.
And Michael, what are the indicators that the market's going to be looking to today in terms of the business news that will be released?
Well, we've been seeing defensive stocks faring quite well. Telecom providers have attained defensive properties as more and more people are using mobile phones. We've seen British Telecom and Vodafone, the biggest cell phone service provider in the world, doing very well today. Money has been moving out of the financial sector again as this uncertainty has returned into stocks that tend to fare better during difficult times.
Right.
So people are keeping a close eye on those kind of indicators.
Michael, you've been at the FT for a long time, right?
I've been at the FT for 9 years.
Right,
now.
Right. I mean, if something should happen, God forbid, would you consider putting on a sandwich board as a way of getting a new job?
I think, well, John, when I was going through college, one of the jobs I did was meter reading. I used to knock on people's doors and read their gas and electricity meters, and I could always fall back on that.
You can always fall back on that. Michael Hunter, thanks so much.
Michael Hunter is a markets reporter for the Financial Times.
And he's well hedged in this recession.
Absolutely. It's always good to have a plan B. What's your plan B, John?
My plan B is this show. Isn't that pathetic? I know. 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. We're doing a series next week on debt in America, and we want to hear your stories of how you're handling the debt in this difficult environment. Send your comments and your stories to 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. And, of course, suggestions for Paul Naraki up there with the sandwich board in Beacon, New York.
Yeah, what's your advice for those who are looking for a job? 877-8-MY-TAKE.